This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run right here on BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Melissa Idris. I've got Tan Chung Han and Brian Fernandez here as we take a look at the top business news of the day. EPF has announced 4 enhancements to its policies. One of the new policy changes will allow members aged 55 and above to withdraw as little as 100 ringgit a month from January 1st onwards. The Star's headline this morning says, ATM for seniors. I'm not sure I agree with that headline, but it is quite catchy, isn't it, Brian?
Yes, it is. So it allows members 55 and above, as you said, to withdraw as little as 100 ringgit a month. The current policy allows only partial withdrawals of a minimum of 2,000 ringgit every 30 days and 250 ringgit a month minimum for those who opt for the monthly retirement scheme. So another policy change would see the age cap, so that is keeping your money in EPF, increased to 100 years from the current 75 years.
Okay, so I'm trying to make sense of this policy. So the idea is EPF is always very concerned about the sufficiency of Malaysians' sufficiency for retirement funds. Mm. So the idea is now you can make smaller withdrawals as opposed to taking bigger withdrawals every month and then kind of spending it unwisely. So this is to help you perhaps manage and plan your finances better.
Yeah, I mean, so there are personal choices at stake here. So at play here, right? Now, if you look at it broadly speaking, okay, Malaysia is set to become an aging nation by 2030. You know, guess what? You know, 12 years from now, we are essentially, not making enough babies and living longer, I guess. You know, you can blame. I was going to blame Sherrod, but yeah, thanks a lot for outing me like that. Not in that kind of context, right? Anyway, so moving on. So look, so these kind of moves, right? These changes, those 4 key changes to the EPS policies, okay, that would cater to the growing aging population. Something else you guys got to keep in mind. Another key change is that members will have the option to appoint Amanah Raya Berhad as the nominee administrator or trustee to administer their EPF savings. So this would essentially enable faster and more equitable distribution of their savings, you know, to the next of kin upon the death of members.
Yeah, I mean, as it is, you know, we're concerned that we barely have enough for a decent life after retirement. The problem is now Malaysian life expectancy has been rising as well.
Yeah, so here's the challenge. Here's the dilemma. Life expectancy at birth at 2015 was 72.5 years for males and 77.4 years for females. So assuming one lives till 75 with no major medical expenses or outstanding debt, average savings of 194,000 would only give you 25 ringgit per day or 810 ringgit per month.
Wow, 25 ringgit a day.
Yeah, so now just as a benchmark for you guys to plan your retirements, right? So this year, EPF has raised the minimum savings target by age 55. That's essentially where Sherrod is at right now. So they've raised it from 197,000 to 228,000. That's the minimum you need by the age of 55. Sherrod, listen up. Okay, so but only 18% of members have this much, so far short of its target of getting at least half of members, EPF members, to meet the minimum level by 2021. Low investment returns, withdrawals permitted, you know, for housing, health, education imply even less for retirement.
Okay, well, let's take a look at what EPF's outlook for next year on a more macro level. So EPF is sounding a cautious note for global equities, including the Malaysian equity landscape as well for next year. According to CEO Dato' Shahrul Rizal Rizwan, he's warning of a potential reversal after the current bullish rally.
Yeah, so one of the criticisms of loose monetary policies by major central banks in recent years is that it fed into rising asset prices globally. So we're about to enter 2018. It is expected to be a year of monetary policy tightening around the world. The Fed is expected to raise interest rates 3 times next year. The European Central Bank is also expected to take their foot out of the easy money pedal. So Dato' Shahrul expects some euphoria in the equity markets may start to disappear, and resulting, of course, in the market coming back down to a valuation that's probably more rational in the long term.
All right. Well, so, okay. So it's not just this kind of global outlook. When we talk about the Malaysian landscape, what about Malaysia stocks? Are we at risk as well, perhaps?
Yeah. So looking at the FBM KLCI, okay, it's gained over 7% so far this year. Now, unless some crazy meltdown happens over the next 2 weeks.
And we hope it doesn't.
Yeah. Touch wood.
Yeah. So Malaysian equities would have bucked like 3 consecutive years of losses. Okay. So looking at the local stock market, EPF says that it's very dependent on the growth of corporate profits. Okay. And I mean, broadly speaking, this year it's been relatively good. For 2018, also generally they expect it to be okay. But the worry here is this, okay? If it doesn't progress as well as markets expect, that's when EPF says valuations will start to come off a little bit and perhaps reflect those actual earnings.
So what's EPF's exposure to equities at the moment?
Well, equities make up about 42%. On top of that, in terms of investment income, equities actually contribute more than 60% to income. It shows really how reliant they are on equities for income.
Yeah, and a big chunk of those returns come from overseas, okay? So the EPF's investments outside of Malaysia, while only accounting for about 30% of total assets, yet that 30%, though, contributes almost half of the investment income, at least for the third quarter of this year. 48% of investment income came from overseas, right? So, you know, once again, just look at the S&P 500, for example. That benchmark gained over 18% year to date. FBM KLCI, like I mentioned earlier, 7%. So S&P 500, you know, outpaced the FBM KLCI by what, 2.5 times? Okay, so that's why.
That's massive.
Yeah,
that's
massive, right?
Huge,
so,
yeah.
So we have had comments, you know, from Quap, for example, saying that, you know, Malaysian equity markets, we are one of the laggards, right? So that's why we got to pay close attention to equities and specifically overseas equities and overseas investments in general.
But you know, Han, I mean, with all this talk about whether these different asset classes are going to perform well next year, there's a lot of people saying, well, perhaps if there's a reversal in equities, maybe cryptocurrencies could be the asset class to look at. In fact, we spoke to Malaysia's two largest pension funds, Kuop and EPF, and we asked them about their thoughts on cryptocurrencies. First of all, here's EPF's Datuk Syahril's comments on investing in cryptos.
We find it very hard to invest in anything which has no real intrinsic value and which does not provide any kind of actual yield from holding the asset. So in the same way that we don't invest in, for instance, pure commodities because of the lack of yield on those assets. So cryptocurrencies are generally in that same basket as well. You're effectively buying something with the hope that you can sell it onto someone else at a higher price. Effectively, the speculative element in terms of your return profile, I think, is too great for a fund like the EPF. We should be focused more on generating actual economic returns from producing assets.
Okay, so no from EPF, too speculative for a fund like EPF. That was EPF CEO Datuk Syahril Riza Rizwan. And we also, earlier this week, spoke to the CEO of Kuap, Datuk Kamarul Zaman Wan Ahmad, on The Breakfast Grill. And here's his take on cryptocurrencies.
As an institutional investor, we want something more stable. We are looking for returns of just slightly above double digits, not in the thousands of percent. We will not even look at cryptocurrencies. We don't have that kind of risk appetite. And furthermore, I think the trouble is that it has to have a lot of liquidity, and that kind of volatility reflects the lack of liquidity, and we are not into those kinds of asset classes.
That was Kuap CEO Datuk Wan Kamaruzaman Wan Ahmad. I really enjoyed that breakfast grill you did with him, Han, earlier this week. So in case you missed that interview, you can download the podcast on the BFM app via the Apple App Store or Google Play. But speaking about cryptos, there have been some developments with Bank Negara as well, Brian.
Yeah, so the central bank is getting feedback about listing digital currency exchanges as reporting institutions in accordance with AMLA. That's the Anti-Money Laundering Act. So under AMLA, all reporting institutions must take preventative actions to make sure that they aren't being used for money laundering or terrorism financing activities. In short, they want to make digital currencies more transparent.
All right, it's 8:56 right now, and after days of talk and speculation, Walt Disney has confirmed it is buying the bulk of 21st Century Fox's business. The deal is for $52.4 billion, so the force is strong with Disney. I mean, come on, we're all going to watch the new Star Wars movie this weekend,
right?
Anyway, and I'm sure you're tired of this, but Han Solo? Are you going to be watching it?
Oh, if I got a dollar for every time somebody called me that. All right, so look, Walt Disney will be acquiring a big part of 21st Century Fox. That is the media empire belonging to Rupert Murdoch. So the Disney galactic, intergalactic empire, that's going to be just way bigger. Okay?
Cinematic universe.
Ah, that's right. Wow, these are all music fans here, movie fans here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, definitely. So look, essentially, you've got like the likes of The Simpsons and also Mickey Mouse. They'll be in the same family. X-Men, The Avengers, and The Jedi, you know, who knows, could all appear in the same movie if Disney wanted to.
It's too much crossover. I can't deal.
You know, like Infinity Wars, all that good stuff. Yeah, okay. So look, Disney will essentially take up everything that 21st Century Fox owns, except for Fox News, Fox Business, Fox Broadcasting, and also Fox Sports.
Okay, so Fox will form a kind of news-focused company with the remaining assets. So I guess, you know, I mean, it's kind of obvious, but what are some of the rationale? What does Disney get from this?
Well, of course, Disney owns a wide variety of media and entertainment assets, but companies like Netflix, YouTube, and Amazon have really changed the media landscapes and the way people consume media. So as such, Disney has been investing very heavily in online streaming platforms. It's taken its 30% stake in Netflix competitor. It will see its 30% stake in Netflix competitor Hulu double once it acquires the Fox stake. The acquisition will also vastly expand their movie and TV catalog. So it all adds to potential bad news for Netflix, who saw their Disney assets taken over off their platform earlier this year.
Yeah.
So essentially, Darth Vader will tell Luke, "Luke, you have a new brother."
So wrong.
That is terrible.
So wrong. All right, we've got the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia coming up next. Thanks for that, Han Solo. So stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.